You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Oakland Athletics. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by Jane Lee, who covers the Athletics for MLB.com. Well, Jane, I don't know who invented FanPass, maybe the Cubs, but it is such a great idea. And I think you wrote the A's drew more than 20,000 over the weekend. Your takeaway from the whole weekend, from what the players said, from Billy's Q&A with the fans, what was the headline for you out of FanFest?
You know, honestly, I think it was kind of refreshing for everyone to see each other, just because, you know, it had been such a long, crazy whirlwind of an off season with so many moves going on. And, you know, all these players, you know, whether old or new, are thinking, what's going on here? You know, what's Billy doing? And I think when they got together and started to look around the room and see, you know, what the rotation was going to be looking like, the bullpen, the lineup, you know, you see these guys, you put names to faces, and you're starting to kind of see what became of Billy's offseason, what was the finished product. And I think it got everyone excited. Whereas before, you know, I think there was sometimes confusion, a lot of times shock. You know, you get rid of a Josh Donaldson, a Brandon Moss, a Jeff Samardzija, you know, Derek Norris, all these all-stars, and you really are thinking, well, how is this going to come together? And I think, you know, FanFest was an opportunity for them to see it. And, you know, when they did, it was them really excited and thinking, hey, we have a very deep, versatile roster. You know, there's no reason we can't contend again.
And Billy did a Q&A with the fans, right? That's right, right?
Yes.
And so, I guess, does he enjoy it? And what was the message he wanted to convey to all those A's?
I don't know that. I'm sure he enjoys it. He did get tough questions. It was very entertaining to watch because the fans were pretty harsh on him. But you know, it was good in a way, and I think it was good for him to be able to, you know, address them, not through the media or through, you know, the moves he's making, but to them. You know, these are the fans that year after year have to kind of see so much turnover. And, you know, one of the very first questions was, Billy, why'd you trade Yoan Cespedes? You know, they were still talking about the Cespedes trade from mid last year. And, you know, he reiterated what he's said all along, and he was very, you know, open with them. You know, he's a humorous guy. He's not afraid to joke. And I think they appreciated that, and I think they appreciated, you know, him just coming out and saying, you know, this is the way we do things here. You know, we're not, or at least him personally, he doesn't really believe in the whole rebuilding philosophy. You know, I think one of his quotes was, you know, every major league game is precious and we treat it that way, which is something you don't, you know, you kind of assume, but you don't really hear anyone say it. And maybe it sounds cliche, but, I mean, he wants to win. You know, he's not around this game to just throw away a year or two or even more. You know, every year he wants to win, and to do that, you know, he has to work with what he has and his resources. And you know, he saw the team in decline at the end of last year, and you know, even though they got into the playoffs, they barely got in, and so he saw an opportunity for them to, you know, get younger. And you look at just the influx of players he's added this offseason, you know, the number of years of team control that these players bring. And this isn't just about this year. This is about, you know, stabilizing the team for years to come as well. And, you know, even the minor league, their minor league system looks even better now after this offseason. I mean, everything's just a little stronger. And yeah, it came at the expense of several All-Stars, but, you know, he also created a really deep lineup. And even Bob Melvin was saying, you know, Billy's so good at getting all this depth and versatility, but I don't know that I've seen a more deep roster than the one we have this year. And, you know, you go back to last year and you thought, well, that was a really, you know, deep roster, and even a few years ago. But, I mean, they really believe that what they've done is the right thing. And I think that's just kind of the message that he was relaying to them. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, I would think after, you know, because I heard him throughout the Q&A, and I would think fans probably left feeling a little bit better about the A's and about him.
You know, what I wonder is how many general managers in the Billy for having the guts to do what probably a lot of them would like to do, in that, hey, we're gonna look at a blank sleep sheet every year, and we're gonna start over. And I think a lot of Billy's, hey, Billy's got job security and all that. He's long since established himself. He's not gonna get fired. I'll bet you there are a lot of GMs that would love to take the approach Billy did, that, hey, if I want to tear it up, by God, I'm gonna tear it up. Anyway, that of course, as you go to Arizona, what are the main things that have to be decided in terms of the opening day lineup and the opening day roster?
The biggest thing is going to be the rotation. You know, they passed Sonny Gray and Scott Kazmir, and it's wide open. That's three open spots for at least six guys. You know, Jesse Chavez and Drew Pomeranz, you would think might have the upper hand in, you know, in one or two of those spots, whether they decide to put both, you know, in the rotation or maybe utilize one of them in the bullpen, just based on what they did last year and being so familiar with them. But then there's several guys, you know, who could really impress in spring. You know, you have a Jesse Hahn who could really be, I mean, he kind of profiles as a number two or three starter right now. And they have high expectations for him. And, you know, all the guys that came over from the Blue Jays, Kendall Graveman, Sean Nolan, and then there's Chris Bassett, who came over from the White Sox. And there are several of them vying for just a few rotation spots. But, you know, and especially the new guys, they'll come to realize in Oakland, it really doesn't matter who's in the rotation on opening day, because things change and the A's are not afraid to give you an opportunity. And I think you heard that a lot at FanFest from the returning players, is that, you know, if you were brought here, it wasn't just because you were brought here to play. You weren't brought here to sit. You weren't brought here to toil in the minors. You know, you were brought here because the A's want to give you an opportunity. And I think they're very well known for that. Brandon Moss is kind of the ultimate poster boy for the way, you know, the A's work and hand out opportunities. So, you know, there's obviously going to be an arm or two or three left out of the rotation that you would think maybe deserves a spot. But, I mean, that just gives them the depth that every year every team needs. So that's going to be the biggest decision for them. And beyond that, they do have to, you know, think about who's going to start the season in the closer's role, because they're fairly certain Sean Doolittle won't be ready by opening day. You know, luckily, they have options, and, it really shouldn't be a headache for them, because when you have guys like Tyler Clippard and Eric O'Flaherty and Ryan Cook in your bullpen, I mean, that's, you know, you at least already know you have the options and guys who can fill that role and do it well. And that'll be something that'll be looked at. And I think it will be interesting just to see, you know, how spring goes and how Bob Melvin decides to kind of create his lineup. He has so many moving parts. He said this roster, you know, is filled with probably more players than ever who just are so versatile. You know, you look at guys like Ben Zobrist, and then, you know, Billy Butler is not going to DH every day. They want him to play first base. So there's just so many moving parts. And, you know, he's started thinking about the lineup, but beyond the kind of 1-2-3 spots, I mean, it's wide open. But that's a good thing, because, you know, you might end up with a Josh Reddick in the number 6 or 7 spot, which only makes your lineup better. You know, you're not putting pressure on him. And, I mean, this is going to be a deep, versatile lineup 1-9, and that's kind of what, you know, they were all saying. So that should be another thing to watch in spring, but I definitely think the rotation kind of headlines, you know, the biggest storyline for them.
You know, Jane, one of the trademark of the A's, you written this before, is that when they get a position player, they want to stretch the guy out, find out, can you play here, can you play there, how many different spots can we get you in the lineup at? And I wonder, do they get guys knowing they're athletic enough to play different spots, or do they just say, hey, we're going to put you here, and then we're going to put you there? How do you think they get that kind of flexibility? Do they know they've got it, or do they just start experimenting with it?
I think it's a little of both. I mean, they value versatility, you know, maybe more than any other team, just because of the changes that, you know, every roster endures throughout the season. And you look at last year, a guy like Steven Vogt, he's a catcher, had a foot injury, and they didn't put him on the DL. He went to first base. He played some outfield, which took a little bit of pressure off his foot. And, you know, that's just kind of their take on their philosophy, is they want to fill their roster with guys who can play multiple positions. And they knew, you know, for instance, a Billy Butler, they're not a team that can afford, you know, $30 million on a full-time DH. They don't spend that kind of money on a full-time DH. They don't believe in that. You know, they like utilizing the DH spot to kind of mix guys in and out, and, you know, give them a half day off here or there. You know, especially a guy like Coco Crisp, who's, you know, so injury prone. I mean, that DH spot is important for them to have for him on occasion. So, you know, knowing that Butler can play first base, that was a big reason why, you know, they opted for him. And, I mean, you look around the entire diamond, you know, the kind of outfielders they have, Craig Gentry, Sam Fold, guys that can move around. And of course, Ben Zobrist is probably, you know, their dream player. And I'm sure they're just, I mean, beyond thrilled that they have him, because he's obviously the ultimate, you know, versatile guy. So I think it is something they look for, and probably something, you know, in spring training they do like to experiment with. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Ike Davis maybe started getting some playing time in the outfield, just to, you know, see what he can give them there. So I think, you know, going back to your question, it is a little of both, where it is something they definitely look for, and then, you know, once they have these guys, they're not afraid to see, you know, what else they can do, because it's just such a valuable asset to have during the season.
You know, I know you are and I am. We're both exciting to see how it shakes out, what they look like after this amazing reconstruction project. And I can't even imagine how excited Billy must be. And it's almost that time. He doesn't think about it on paper anymore. We're almost there. So I appreciate your time, Jane. I look forward to seeing you in Arizona.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.